Welcome to this podcast featuring Al Jolson and Friends, sponsored by the website of the International Al Jolson Society. Al Jolson was the preeminent superstar of the 20th century with the first million-selling song, first million-selling album, and more number one hits than the Beatles. George Jessel is the featured guest on this week's Al Jolson podcast from the Shell Chateau broadcast of August the 3rd, 1935. In this excerpt from the one-hour radio show, you'll hear Al Jolson sing two songs and a classic comedy routine and song by the Toastmaster General himself, George Jessel.
For comedy, we have George Jessel, that very great comedian, and I might add that Georgie is one of the finest after-dinner speakers in America today. As Georgie himself would tell you, he has made so many speeches that all you have to do is show him half a grapefruit and he gets up and talks. Well, when he came to Shell Chateau this afternoon, I wanted to have a little talk with Georgie. For old time's sake, I have known him for years. So we went to a restaurant here in the neighborhood and we had a sandwich and a cup of coffee. And was I embarrassed. I felt in my pocket and I realized I had no money with me. Of course, I didn't want Georgie to pay for it. I wasn't trying to outfumble him. I really didn't have any money. So I explained to the cashier. He said, if you have no money with you, don't worry. It's all right. I'll just write your name on the wall. And I said, listen, I wouldn't want people to see my name on the wall. He said, don't worry, they won't. Your coat will be hanging on it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a little song that is fast becoming the hit of the season. A song from that grand picture, Broadway Gondolier, sung so marvelously by Dick Powell, The Rose in Her Hair. Hit it, Victor.
Love is a rose, and it grows like a rose. I found a rose nestled in someone's hair. Sweet was the rose, and never a maid was so fair. In her eyes there was moonlight, and a rose in her hair. In my arms there was no one, so I just put her there. On her lips was a promise, in my heart was a prayer. When I finally went, I went home with a scent of the rose in her hair. Love was in bloom, in the gloom of the night. Bright was the moon on the night we were there. Love was in bloom, and so was the rose in her hair.
In her eyes there was moonlight, and a rose in her hair. In my arms there was no one, so I just put her there. Her lips was a promise, in my heart was a prayer. When I finally went, I went home with a scent of the rose in her hair. Guest this evening is a young man who needs no introduction to you folks in Shell Chateau. For that matter, any place where there are theater-going people in the United States. You've heard him on the radio, seen him on the stage and in pictures, and you certainly know his mama. He's one of the world's smartest comedians, and it's a pleasure to welcome him to Shell Chateau tonight. Georgie Jessel.
Gentlemen, Albertina, it's a great pleasure to be on this radio program, and to tell you the honest truth, it's a great pleasure to be on any radio program. What's use of telling any lie, you know? Things haven't been as tasty in my business as they might be, you know? Of course, you read in the columnists about actors, how well they're doing. I read it myself only two or three months ago. Jessel, there's a lucky fella. He married a rich actress and bought a diamond ring for $10,000. Who had that kind of money? I bought a little ring, and I'm taking care of it as I go along. That's all. I read about a week ago here in the paper, it says, Jessel has finally landed himself a fine job in Hollywood. He's an executive at one of the larger motion picture studios. It's a little exaggerated, the executive. I got a little job, and an office. They didn't give me anything yet. After 3 months, I'll get an office, and after 3 months, my contract is over, so you can't figure on anything. You know what I mean? But I have had a most interesting time here in California. I came here originally to play a week's engagement at one of the theaters downtown. No need to mention the name, because why should the Shell Company advertise the Paramount? However, it was a most interesting engagement, as I said. I went down there, and of course the advertising sort of disturbed me for a moment. As I came in on the marquee above the theater, it said, this week, Georgie Jessel, next week, less miserable. But it was really very, very nice and interesting because we played 6 shows a day. And finally, after 2 or 3 days, I got all mixed up. You know what I mean? I started to feel like that girl in the picture. You possibly saw the motion picture Private World, where the girl is a little bit, you know, and she comes in and she says, I'm Carrie Flint, I've come to tea, I'm Carrie Flint, I've come to tea, you know? That's how I felt with the 6 shows. I'm Georgie Jessel, I'm on again. We had a splendid time, though, and I was kept over for, they extended the engagement for the second week. They announced it that way. I had the contract for 2 weeks originally. But the second week, we had a grand, and we had 300 children, a kiddie show. 300 children and 1,200 mothers. I never saw so many relations in my life, you know? And kids all over. You come to the dressing room, open up a can of cold cream, 3 children jumped out, you know? But it was interesting talking to the children, children of all different nationalities, you know, and all kinds. I got to talking to a couple little of the Jewish children for the novelty of the thing. And, it is a novelty because the children out here, I find, are named differently than most of the same type of children that we have in the East, you know, where I live in New York. I mean, most of the kids are named after their biblical forefathers. Here, it's a little bit different. I said to one child, what's your name, son? He said, Sinclair is my name. Sinclair Rosenberg is my name. And this is my boyfriend, DeWitt Clinton Sink. So I got friendly with all the youngsters, and one afternoon following one of the performances, I was in the dressing room, 2 little fellas in there, and the mother of one of these children was calling him, say, Cornelius. But Cornelius evidently didn't hear his mother. Another kid had to nudge him, say, Stunk, your mama wants you. But really, the theaters out here, are different, as I say, from the ones we have in New York. I played an engagement at a theater on Broadway some months ago, a motion picture theater. They begin at 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, what kind of customers are you going to get at 9 o'clock in the morning? Well, till you come out, you look through the wings, and the entire audience consists of traveling salesmen. You know what I mean? They've been up about an hour. They couldn't sell anything. They come in the theater, put their samples under the seat, and make faces at the actors all afternoon. I mean, it hurts them because we're working, you know what I mean? Then about 12 o'clock, the ladies come. Of course, the ladies, they don't come either to see the picture or the play. Their main object in life is to save a seat for a friend. That's all they care. And that procedure is followed in this manner. The lady generally comes with her husband's hat. That's the idea, huh? Puts the hat on the seat to her right or left, and you come in, you want to sit down. Well, up, but my husband, he'll be back in a minute, huh? But it's interesting, and it's good for an actor to play that type of theater, particularly in these drastic days of the drama. Because you play 4 or 5 or maybe 6 times a day, and it keeps you mentally alert. You've got to think of new jokes at every performance, but you're working for the same people all day. I have an aunt who is one of that type of theater patrons. She goes in, and once she's in, she stays the whole season. You know what I mean? And it's a remarkable thing about her, as it happens. I mean, I say this with no ulterior motive, because I got the job, but I mean, she is the most ardent Jolson fan. Remembers all his plays and his pictures and listens to his programs, and loves his songs, but has no idea about committing a melody to her brain. You know, there are some people that, for instance, I dined at this aunt's house, and she was characteristically humming a song to herself, you know? Cocktails for two. So, ladies and gentlemen, this time, A popular song called It's Easy to Remember but So Hard to Forget. Victor, just a more note of instruction. I mean, make out I'm not singing. Just make out it's still Al and play it, you know, his way. Go ahead, if you please. With you, I own the earth. With you, I rule creation. No. And what's it worth? Life is just an imitation. That sweet expression I see before me, the way you looked when we met. It's easy to remember, but so hard to forget. I hear you whisper, I'll always love you. I know it's over, and yet it's easy to remember, but so hard to forget. And so I dream, I feel your arms caress me, fingers press me tight. I'd rather dream than have that lonely feeling stealing through the night. That one clear moment is there before me, and though it brings me regret, it's easy to remember, but so hard to forget. I love this song. I tell you why. It's got a nice, sentimental, old-fashioned sway to it. The kind of song that I used to sing when I was a little fellow. It's got that. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, in those days, the songs had ever so much more sentiment and deep feeling than the ones they're writing today. I don't know if you sang a love song, by gosh, you knew it was a love song by its title. I can't tell why I love you, but I do. I'll be with you when the roses bloom again. Will you love me in December as you do in May? Love song. Today, the love songs are, I want to go back to Chakamahakama, Hawaii. Two cigarettes in the dark and I'm out in the cold again. Looka, looka, looky, here comes Cookie. Songs had so much heart, so much feeling. Well, of course, nearly everything seems to have changed since I was a little fella. Even the kids are different. Children haven't got that same sweet, childlike simplicity they used to have. A kid is born, it leaves its cradle, and it's a grown-up before you know it. It forgets the springtime of its youth almost immediately. I remember around Christmas time, say to some little fella, well, sonny boy, soon the Christmas will be here, and then what do you want Santa Claus to put in your stocking on Christmas morning? And the child would wistfully answer, well, sir, a toy drum, a soldier coat, a baseball glove, some sweet childish fancy. I got a nephew, 6 years old. I said to him this Christmas, well, sonny, what do you want Santa Claus to put in your stocking? He said, Joan Blondell. That very moment, and though it brings me regret, it's easy to remember, but to forget.
Thank you very much, George, and I hope you're 3 months at the Fox Studio become 3 years. And if you're a lucky fella, they might change your name, you know what I mean, in front of the studio to J. Throckmorton, Zanuck, Sheehan, Skank, Jessel. I hope you folks remember a couple of weeks ago, I sang a song of Paul Dresser's called My Gal Sal.
And a beautiful song it was, too.
At that time, I said that I thought Paul Dresser's name would live forever because of that one song. Tonight, I would like to sing a song written by another American composer who will never be forgotten. His name is Ethelbert Nevin. And I don't think I'll have to tell you the name of the song, but I might as well so Victor can play it. Mighty Like a Rose.
Sweet ass little fella, everybody knows. Don't know what to call sweet eyes so shiny blue make you think that a heaven is a-coming close to you. When he's a-dar a-sleeping in his little place, think I see the angels looking through the lace. When the dark is a-falling, when the shadows creep, then they come on tiptoe to kiss him in his sleep. Sweet as little fella, everybody knows. Don't know what I call him, but he mighty like a rose. Looking at his mammy with eyes so shiny blue, make you think that a heaven is a coming close to you.
This entire radio program is available on the website of the International Al Jolson Society, www.jolson.org. That's JOLSON.ORG. Along with many other radio shows, Jolson recordings, video clips, and information about the world's greatest entertainer. Be sure to visit the site and listen for the next podcast. As Al Jolson said, in the words he made famous,
"You ain't heard nothing yet."